On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
If you have your hand up, keep your eyes open, but we're going to pray and as they're passing out the outlines. Father, we just consider it a privilege to be in this place, together as brothers and sisters of Christ, the family of God, to come and worship you and to learn of you. We ask that you would speak to us in a very clear way today through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about three words I believe that God has given me for this church for the new year. Any of you have any idea what they might be? Anybody take a guess? Faith, hope, and love. Where do you get these other words? My goodness. No. As you can see, a new month, we have kind of a new theme, and the theme is words, really words of the Father. And this week I'm going to be sharing what I believe God has put on my heart for this congregation for this year. And then we're going to be every week talking about some other things that I believe God has for this church, and all to do with words of the Father. But part of this really came about in Matthew chapter 4. I was reading this earlier in the week in my devotions, and I've read this verse hundreds of times over the years, but I saw it in a fresh and new way, and I shared it at our staff devotion, and one thing led to another, and next thing you know, we have this series. Let me read Matthew 4, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" And especially that last verse is what really jumped out at me. But a couple of things that we can learn from this verse is, number one, it says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry. First thing we can learn is that the devil tempts us when and where we are the most vulnerable. Where was Jesus vulnerable? How many of you know, if you had missed the last 120 meals and a few snacks in between, you're going to be hungry. Jesus was hungry. And the devil came and tempted him where he was most vulnerable. And that is something for us to learn, is that when we find ourselves in a vulnerable spot, we need to really, really be aware and guard against any type of temptation that the devil would try to bring our way. But the main thing that I really took away from this verse is when Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone." You know, and Jesus was, you read that often, you know, especially after coming off 40 days of prayer and fasting, and that's how the devil is tempting him to eat physical bread to deal with his hunger. But I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me that bread represents far more than just food or sustenance. That bread in life can represent our accomplishments, our ambitions, all that we accumulate. And some people devote their entire life to accumulating bread. And I don't mean food. But the larger things, the sustenance, the ambitions, the accomplishments, the things of life people will devote their life to, only to find out it. They get one thing and it's like, oh yeah, if I only had that. And then they find, once they have it for a bit, really doesn't satisfy. So they go off in pursuit of the next thing and the next thing. They're constantly eating the bread of this life, so to speak, and find that it doesn't fill that deeper hunger that God has given each one of us. Then Jesus goes on to say, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word, his words, his truths feed the hungry soul. And it fills and it satisfies in a way that nothing else can. That hunger that is deeper than the material things of this life, Jesus said, is the words of God, the truths of God, in them alone is what can really satisfy us. Are you with me? And we look at the idea, the concept of the words of God, the words of the Father. And we see that they come in various forms. This is the written word of God. If you are a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in you. And Jesus tells us seven times in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You and I are the church. He was addressing seven different churches. He kept saying that we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God will speak to us through his word. He will speak to us through his Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the word became flesh. God will speak to us through the example that Jesus set in walking this earth. You want to know how to live a Christian life? Just study Jesus' life. But there's another way that God can speak to his people. And it's biblical precedence from the very beginning to the very end. Is oftentimes God will speak through, if he wants to speak to a group of people, he will speak to the leaders of those people in words to communicate to them. In Ephesians 4, it's known as the fivefold ministry that he, meaning Christ, gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and so on. God would speak to Moses, hey, tell the congregation this. God would speak to Paul and to pastors to communicate to their congregations. And that's another way, but understand that those are messages coming through fallible men and women, you know. And what I want to share with you this morning are some words that I believe that God put on my heart for 2018. And understand that I believe it's a word that God has given me for us, but I'm an imperfect vessel. So, you know, I'm going to do my best to communicate faithfully what I believe the Lord put on my heart. And in the coming weeks, we will be doing that. I'm going to end the month with sharing with you what I'm calling some life words. Back in 2011, Nancy Ann and I did a 3-month sabbatical. And in that period of time, God spoke to me three words that he wants to live my life by. Whether I'm a pastor, it has nothing to do with being a pastor. It was everything to do with being a child of God. And I'm going to share those three words with you that continue to lead and guide my life and will to the day that I go home to be with Jesus. But today I want to focus on words for 2018, okay? And yes, you can see them up there, but I will expound on them. And the first word is this, is that we are to pray for personal revival. Pray for personal revival. The psalmist in 119, Psalm 119, they believe it was David who wrote this. 9 different times in Psalm 119, David prayed for God and asked God to revive him. How many times do we include in our prayers, God, revive me, revive me? Matter of fact, let's just take a quick look. 3 times in Psalm 119, he said, Lord, revive me according to thy word. Lord, revive me in thy ways. Revive me through thy righteousness. revive me according to thy loving kindness. Twice he prayed that. And twice he prayed, God, revive me according to thy ordinances. Now, what does it mean to ask God to revive me? God, revive me. What is he talking about? Well, the word revive in the Hebrew is defined this way. To enjoy life, to live anew, to make alive, to rebuild, to refresh, and to restore. It is, God, revive me that I may live life the way that you intended for me to live it. How many of you know that life is not to be tolerated or just endured? There's so much more to it. It is to be lived and fully enjoyed. You know, and just, I'm just going to suck every moment of life out of the air. And every moment I want to maximize the life that God intended for me to walk. You see, I believe that we are walking in personal revival when we're living the abundant life that Jesus promised you and I. In John 10:10, he says, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly, overflowing, you know, and all the things that revive means. Well, Pastor Joe, that's not my world. You know, I'm that would be nice. It may be you, but it's not me right now. I tell you what, we all go through ups and downs. We all go through challenges. But understand this, that trials and challenges can suck all the joy and pleasure out of life. How many would agree with that statement? If we allow it. If we allow it. All right? And understand, there are days that just... You're doing really good just to survive it, all right? But that isn't a way of life. Jesus said, I came that you might have abundant life. That's his desire for us. And I was reading a book by David Jeremiah a few months ago, and he was talking about revival, and this is he's the one that brought this to my attention. And it just... exploded in my spirit. And ever since then, I said, God, revive me. Lord, revive me. And we had a leadership dinner, and I was encouraging our leaders, pray, ask God to revive you. And I tell you what, don't pray at once and expect the next day to get up and go, oh, life is so good. It's all wonderful. It is something, it needs to be a constant prayer of ours. Anyway, let me share with you three things that we can do to experience personal revival. And the first is really the main point. Pray for it daily and mean it. Don't give God lip service. All right, Pastor Joseph, I got to pray for revival. Oh, God, revive me. Okay, thanks. You know, and move on. Make it the desire and the passion of your heart. God, revive me. According to your will and your plans and your purposes and your loving kindness. God, revive me. Let me live the abundant life that you have for me. I want it, and I want it desperately, Lord. How many know he'll listen to a prayer like that? The second thing we can do is live a life in revival. What do I mean by that? Live a life, a holy life, one that accurately reflects God in us. And we live in a world that doesn't live holy, and the church is bleeding into the world, and it's living in a very compromising fashion. How many of you say, man, this year I am going to lose some weight? Man, I can't wait to lose some weight. As you're munching on some cookies and some ice cream and eyeing the chocolate cake. You're saying one thing, but you're doing another. And when we pray, God, give me revival, live like you're in revival. Live a life that is holy and pure and pleasing to God. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, do not quench the Spirit. When we cry out to God for one thing, but we live contrary to that. We are grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, and we're saying to God, I really don't want revival in my life. I would just soon live a subpar life and be miserable and unsatisfied, but I want to sound spiritual, so I'm going to pray, God, revive me. But by my actions, I really don't mean it. Mean it and live it and see what God will do. And the third thing is pray that God revives others. You know, God, send revival to America. And that's a great prayer. But we forget to say, God, first send it to me. Pray for your family members. Pray for your friends, your city, your nation. God, send revival. Proverbs says that iron sharpens iron. You know what that means? If I'm walking in revival and my brother Paul's walking in revival, we get together, man, we're going to sharpen each other. We're going to encourage one another in the faith. I had breakfast this week with a dear, dear friend of mine. He was best man in my wedding. I was best man in his. Some of you know Gary Gager. Where's Steve Platty? Steve, Gary loves you. He just thinks you're... But we sat, and we had about a two-hour breakfast reminiscing of the incredible moments that we had together in God. And him and I, we have spent hundreds of hours over the years praying together. And I cannot... Some of the greatest experiences I've had in the Lord is with him. You know, together we've experienced them. And we were iron sharpening each other. And I walked away from that breakfast so excited about seeing God do more of that. That's what I mean about if you pray for people around you to be revived, and so when you get together, it's going to be life-giving conversation that goes on. And understand that when God revives a life, it will have a positive impact on everybody around them. You know, all you have to do is, and I've referred to it the last few weeks, is go to John chapter 4. You know, the woman at the well had this personal encounter with Christ, and she experienced personal revival, and she had to go tell somebody, so she went back into the city. And this was a woman who was known as the town prostitute, basically, and close to it. And she was so ostracized by the town that she had to go out and get water at a separate time because nobody wanted to be around her. She wasn't welcome to be with anybody. But yet, with this personal encounter with Christ, her transformation was so radical that when this person who had no credibility came into the city and said, "You got to come and hear Jesus. He told me everything I've ever done. Is this the Christ?" That got people's attention. How many of you know that when we are living and walking in revival, that it will get people's attention because they're going to see something going on in our life? They may not be able to define it. They may not be able to say, "Man, that's God working." They're just going to see. I remember the guy that led me to Christ, Frank. It looked like he swallowed a light bulb. He glowed from the inside out. All I knew is that he had a hold of God in a way that I didn't, and I wanted what he had. And that's what's going to impact people. So that's the first word. Pray for personal revival. And pray that God would revive you. Make it a daily prayer. Mean it. Pray it with passion. And then live it out. And then pray for those around you to walk in revival. So you can build up and encourage one another. And iron sharpens iron. Second word for 2018. And you know, when I saw these words, they just seemed so random. It's like, you know, you like a nice flow to it. You know, preachers like nice flowing, connecting things. And it's like, huh? Once I got that third word from the Lord and I started studying it, they all intertwine beautifully. The second one is be faithful in the details. Luke 16:10, Jesus said that he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. Understand this. This is my opinion. Details are the little things of life that lead to success or failure. You can have the biggest vision in the world, but if you're not faithful in the details of that vision, it's not going anywhere. You know, Rob talked about financially, we went through a very challenging time this past year, and boy, we put the nose to the grindstone, and we were faithful to the details, and God honored that and blessed that. But also, not only are details the little things of life that lead to success or failure, but details are the step-by-step directions, I believe, that God has for our life. This Christmas, did you buy your kids or your grandkids or your wife something? Or your husband? That required directions to assemble? Boy, I hate those. When we moved into the apartment, Nancy Ann went to IKEA. And she bought these beautiful shells that came in these little boxes upon boxes. And put a few together, then I think she went up north and went away for a few days and left me alone with the boxes. And I wanted to bless her, so I followed the directions and I put them together. But I had to pay attention to the details. How many, and I think companies do this just to mess with you, that they give you the directions and you put it all together, then all of a sudden you have all these extra parts. And you go, oh no, what did I miss? Now, chances are I don't know why they do that, but anyway. What would happen if, here's the step-by-step details, that all of a sudden you say, I'm in kind of a hurry to get this together. I don't need to do steps 6 through 10. I don't feel like doing steps 6 through 10, so I think I gotta go from 5 to 11. You know, how many of you know that's not advisable? But yet, many of us as Christians, we are hurrying through life, ignoring the details and skipping the steps that God has chosen for us to walk and to live. And then, for some strange reason, we don't understand, I'm not living the abundant life. I hear about it, but I'm too stressed. Or I'm just too tired. I don't know. Proverbs 20:24 says, man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Understand, we cannot walk a life that brings that deep fulfillment to our soul apart from knowing what Christ has for us. Then Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is God's word, whether it is his written word, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, or whatever form God speaks to you, it is a light saying, take this step and then take that one, avoid that, take this one over here. And all of a sudden, the abundant life becomes more and more of a reality to you. Faithfulness in the details is important. Not only in the good times when life is good, but I tell you, especially when faithfulness in the details is important, is when you're going through trials and challenges and difficulties. I've noticed a pattern over the years. Oftentimes, when someone is going through a challenging time, the first thing they do is walk away from their commitments to ministry at church. That is the time to serve and to say, God, here I am. And to walk in that faith, saying, God, I am going to be faithful in the details. I know that you've called me to this, and I'm going to be faithful in the details. I am not going to go, and I'm not going to shrink away and hide out and have a pity party or anything else, but I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to walk through it, and I'm going to be faithful to the smallest detail, not only in church ministry, but in all areas of life. And many falter during trials because they pull away and they stop being faithful to the details. Understand, God is a God of details. He gave a blueprint to Noah to build the ark. It wasn't a suggestion. It was God, hey, Noah, here is a very specific, this is what I want you to do. Boom, 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 boom. He gave plans to David, who passed them on to Solomon, to build a temple for God. And it was great. The Ark of the Covenant, very detailed. God is saying, this is what I want you to do. How do you think God would have viewed it if they decided to ignore some of the details or to cut corners? God is in the details. Matt, where's Matt? You're an architect, right? What's that? Oh. Okay. Let me ask you this. So if I said, hey, we want to build this 1,000-seat auditorium, and could you draw a blueprint for me? And you just gave me all the details. And I said, hey, thanks. So we start building it. I said, hey, guys, don't tell Matt, but we're just going to skip this and this and this because nobody's going to see it anyway. But, you know, it's going to be under cement and under, you know, drywall and brick or whatever. Just don't tell him. So we'll skip those details over here. And you know, this is a little expensive, so we'll kind of leave that out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's too important. But anyway, how do you think that'd come out? Yep. It's not good to ignore the details. And we got that from Matt himself. Does anybody know what happened on January 28th, 1986? January 28th, 1986. The Challenger exploded, and seven astronauts died 73 seconds after it was launched. But the question is why? There is an exhaustive investigation as to why. And it was discovered that NASA ignored the fact that the O-rings, the O-ring design could have been flawed. Just a little detail, but they overlooked it. The second thing that was discovered, that NASA managers ignored the warnings from the engineers. I think it's too cold today to launch. It was the coldest launch ever that NASA attempted. And the combination of the cold and the possibility of faulty O-rings led to the loss of seven lives and a nation just being stunned. It said that within an hour of the explosion, 85% of America knew what had happened. I remember. How many of you remember that day? Do you remember where you were? I remember it clearly. And you know what? I'm sure NASA didn't want any of this to happen, but they just chose to ignore a few little details. God's plan for our life, there's many details in them. We have to be faithful to the details. Sometimes it seems mundane, it can seem boring, it can seem fruitless, like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? You know, and you know, God, let me advise you. I see steps 7, 8, and 9, but let me just skip 7 and 8 and just go right to 9 because I really don't need 7, 8. God is going, that's just confirmation. You really need 7 and 8. God's plan for our life will succeed to the extent that we are faithful in the details. I'll say it one more time. God's plan for our life will succeed to the extent that we are faithful in the details. You know, there are some people who walk in God's financial blessing, and as you follow that out, I believe that you look at their life and you'll find that they're faithful in the details. And there are others who just can't ever seem to get it together financially. And it's because they don't take the time and make the effort to learn God's principles of finances according to his word and walk it out and practice it in their life. And their finances are always in disarray and confusion and there's no peace there. You know, I think all of us at some time in our life have struggled financially. And I have at times. I tell you what, I sleep a whole lot better when I know my finances are in order. And I'm not saying being this rich guy, but knowing when my bills are due, knowing that my bills are paid, and so on and so forth. If you follow out in Luke, right after he was faithful in a very little thing, he's also faithful in much, it says that he was faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, money, will be trusted with the true riches of God. If we're faithful with unrighteous mammon, if we're faithful with finances, God will give us more. But if we're not, then he won't, because he doesn't want to reveal things to us that we'll not respect and follow through on. So anyway, the details for our lives are spelled out clearly in his word of how to live our life. And I want to challenge us to make 2018 a year to be faithful in the little things. If you have a commitment to Mount Hope Church, you may say, well, you know, I only do this once a month. Be faithful in it. And part of being faithful isn't just showing up. It is showing up prepared. It is showing up ready. It is showing up to give your very best, because God deserves our excellence. Be faithful in the details. And see, you're faithful in that step. God shows you the next step, and then the next step. When you're walking with God, you're not walking away from God. And boy, I tell you, the blessings begin to come, it's really cool. The third word I believe God has given us for 2018 is to be open to change. Change should be a four-letter word. I don't know if you can fit it down. For many, the older you get, the less people like change. But yet, we're told in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I really, really like the fall. I like walking out in the crisp air, the changing of the leaves, except out on the golf course, they get in the way. But I love the fall. That is a wonderful season. If it would stay fall all the time, that would just be wonderful. But how many of you know it doesn't? That's why it's called a season. And then it transitions into what? Winter. Yeah. I dislike winter. I dislike winter. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what I like or dislike. Because the truth and what God has taught us through his word is that there are seasons in nature. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Yeah. But there are seasons of life. You know, and when I was talking to Gary the other day, we were kind of just reminiscing about just some of the good old days, if you will. And that's okay. You want to honor the past and you want to learn from the past. You just don't want to live in the past. And that's the danger if you reminisce too much. Understand this, that change is a constant part of life, whether we like it or whether we don't like it. The only question is, how well will we adapt to it? The Lord tells us in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, he says, do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? See, if we're lost in the past, oh, you know, I remember Mount Hope Church. I remember when we did this. Why don't we do that anymore? And, you know, and this and that. And you know, I had one person write me a letter, real nice, sweet lady, who they left our church, and she said, I wouldn't have left if you didn't change. But it changed. It's like anything living and healthy and growing is going to change. You ever see a kid like here and you don't see him for 5 years and all of a sudden they're up here? You know, and you go, what in the world happened to you? And life moves forward. It doesn't move backwards. God is saying, you know what? In these new seasons, I want to do new things in your life. I want to do new things in your marriage. I want to do new things in your family. I want to do new things in your church family. I want to do new things in your community. Will you be aware of it? Or are you going to be too busy living in the past? You know, again, it's good to honor the past and learn from it, but we always need to be moving forward to the new things that God has for us. And understand, new things can and will challenge us. Right? I love what technology does, but I just have no interest to learn how it works. You know, it's like, all right, get it all set up for me, and I want to be able to do what I need to do, but I don't want to learn all about it. That is challenging for me. I still don't know how to tweet or Twitter, or I don't even know how to download something to Facebook, or I don't even know what's the latest, you know, and the greatest out there in social technology. And, you know, I don't care to know either. I just really don't. But, you know, and over the years, I just started my 20th year pastoring here. And so, come out and, you know, and and I've seen a lot of changes in the church world over the years, and that's a part of life, and it's a part of church life, and it's a part of the culture, and we have to understand. This is what God did yesterday, but what's important is what is God doing today. You know, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus took James, Peter, and John up to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And they had this earth-shaking experience where they had a vision of Elijah and Moses appearing to Jesus, and they are all transfigured and glowing. And they had this conversation, and it just kind of blew these three away. And then they kind of fell asleep. And I don't understand how they could sleep during something like that. But anyway, when it was all over, and they kind of came back to their senses, they said to Jesus, how about if we build a tabernacle honoring this experience? Jesus said, no. Well, why don't we just kind of hang out here for a while, just bask in it? Jesus said, no. We got to go back down. There's a lot of people down there that need us. And that's what we can do is, in somewhere in our church experience, in our spiritual experience, we can have those mountaintop experiences. We want to build a tabernacle to the memory of it. We want to worship that memory. And we want to hang out there. But a long time ago, Jesus moved on to do new things. And we're wondering that after a while, this just, you know, it just doesn't have the same pizzazz, you know, as it once did. It's because the life is wherever Jesus is at. In whatever Jesus is doing. Does that make sense? Yeah. If he's on top of the mountain, that's where I want to be. If he's walking down the mountain, I want to be right there in step with him. If he's down in the valley, casting out demons and healing the sick, feeding the hungry, that's where I want to be. Because that's where the life of God is. And if we're open to change, and understand, and I'll wrap it up here real quick. There are three faces to the church. There's the traditional, the contemporary, and the postmodern. The traditional church is fading more and more into the distance. And even the contemporary church has become the new traditional church. And church is done differently. And many of you who've been in the church world for any length of time, you see it. You may not like it. You may not understand it. But you know what? The message is sacred, not the methods. All right? Whether someone wears a tie or wears a blue jeans is irrelevant. What is going to connect most with the people they're trying to reach? You know, so let's not camp out and on change that is peripheral and a matter of taste or whatever. Let's make sure that the Word of God is still being preached, that it's real, that it's relevant, and that we are walking in step with Jesus, and that we are a part of the new things that God is doing. Whatever it looks like and whatever form it takes, and let's not put God in a box and say, God, you did it this way before, so that's how you got to do it now. Guaranteed, he's going to mess with us, and it won't happen that way. So, If we're open to change, again, he says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Don't dwell on them. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I want this congregation to be aware of it. I want this congregation to be revived. I want this congregation to be faithful in the details of life and walking it out. And I want us to be walking in the new things of God. And I can guarantee that life will be very, very good. Will it be challenge-free? Nope. Because there's a spiritual warfare. There's an element that the devil doesn't like. But greater is he who is in us and he who is in the world. Right? So, my challenge, embrace the new things of God, because with it, with the new things come new life. All right? And so, the challenge, all right, the bottom of your notes, is this. Commit to walking out these three words for 2018. God, revive me. Lord, I ask that you would revive me. Lord, I don't feel it, but revive me. God, help me to be faithful in the details. In your word, speak to me. Show me the details of step by step of the plan that you have for my life and how to walk out your word and just to be faithful. And third is, Lord, as we move into a new season, help me to be open to that new season and what you have for me and be open to the change. And I tell you what, we do that, I believe we're going to see awesome things this year in 2018. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the fresh word that you've given us. New words for a new year. But Father, we know that they're not new. They're just something that you want us to give more attention to and focus on. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Joe, that just resonates in my spirit. And I just want to make that commitment to do my very best to walk out these words in 2018. It doesn't matter where you're at spiritually. You know, just move forward. That's the important thing. And if you're saying, Pastor, I'll commit to that, just slip up your hand and you kind of bear witness that, yeah, this is what the Lord is saying. And I really sense that as well. Wow, many of you. Father, thank you for everyone who raised their hands. And I pray, Lord, that as they commit to walking this out in 2018, that, Lord, that they would find life in it. Lord, that they would hear your words, whether it's through the written word, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the word, the preaching of the word. In whatever way, Father, give all of us ears to hear. Let us be faithful in the details. And Father, let us not resist change, but let us be open to it. Let us see the new life in it. Let us see the new things that you're doing and be excited about them and embrace them for your glory. I want to close the service this way. There may be somebody in here who does not know Christ or maybe has really wandered away from Christ. So I'm going to lead all of us in a prayer. And if you fall into either one of those categories and you want to recommit your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to pray. Pray it from the heart. And I tell you what, God hears your heart. And your sins will be forgiven and you'll be reconnected. The important thing now is to move forward in that relationship. But I'm going to ask us all to pray. Father, I come to you this morning. I acknowledge my need of you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. By faith, I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Direct my steps from this day forward. For your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Don't forget Wednesday night class.